Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of A Good Book Review, a podcast where we sit down and review a wide variety of books which have been written for a Christian audience. My name is Chase Vitort, and this is Alex Daniels.
Hey, everyone. Today, we have the privilege of sitting down with Troy Slava and listening to him unpack Mark Dever's Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. Dever's Nine Marks was published most recently in 2015 and can be bought where most books are sold for an average price of $15, give or take.
Troy Slava is the teaching elder here at Chippewa Valley Bible Church in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Prior to his role here at CVBC, Troy attended Moody Bible Institute, where he earned a BA in youth ministry. After that, he studied at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he earned his MDiv. Outside of his love for theology, Troy enjoys books in general, and he's got a weakness that takes the form of enjoying Chicago sports. This is the first time we've had Troy on the podcast, but we're incredibly excited to have him. Troy, welcome to A Good Book Review.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always love talking about books.
Yeah, you nice. Do. First question for you, sir, is this. Nine Marks has become something of a staple for many pastors as a helpful resource to strive for a healthy and certainly not perfect church. That being said, Troy, in your own words, what is Dever trying to effectively communicate to his readers in this book?
Yeah, I think Dever's trying to communicate what a Christ-like and biblical church is. So he's essentially looking through scripture and looking at common themes and elements of what the New Testament talks about for what a church is and puts them together. He comes up with these nine marks. Essentially, that there are nine marks or nine features of a church that are consistently seen throughout the New Testament, especially from Acts onward. But even more specifically, Dever looks and sees kind of two groupings of features of a church. And the first five deal with the preaching of God's doctrine or standing with doctrine.
Yep.
And the last four are more about how you actually live as a disciple make disciples in churches. So he kind of just looks through the Bible, the New Testament, and sees kind of what are some features of a healthy church. And he doesn't do this just as to reinvent the wheel, though Nine Marks was kind of probably 20 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
But these are things that have been consistently believed and practiced for almost 2,000 years of church history. So he's kind of looking back at church history, looking back at the New Testament, and seeing what healthy churches look like and how they're rooted in Scripture. So that's just kind of his general philosophy, how he organized it.
Yeah.
And other churches obviously have bought into the Nine Marks.
Yeah. Certainly.
So like a synod and like a presbytery? Is that what he's getting at?
Oh boy.
Okay.
No, I think obviously
Bowman on
Dever, yeah. he's a Baptist.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So there's certain things that he says probably that a Presbyterian would not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even Methodist. But I think overall most of these marks, these features would be widely agreed upon throughout the history of the church.
Yep. Yeah.
And he just has a way of organizing them. It's a little clearer than just saying, just read the New Testament.
Yeah.
He organizes it and helps it.
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Yeah. Okay. Although I did love his tweet. I think, do you remember that tweet where he had like somebody that asked him like about baptism? They said, hey, what's a good Presbyterian perspective on it, Duncan? And then they said, what's a good Baptist perspective, Dever? And he's like, yeah, first of all, yeah, for a Presbyterian, you can look at these different Baptist options. But for a Baptist, the Bible.
Just read the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
Just read the Bible. Yeah.
All right. Well, now back to the podcast. Yeah. Could you lay out each of the nine marks for us and briefly describe them for our listeners?
Yeah. So he begins on purpose with the first mark, which is expositional preaching. So this is preaching the word of God for what the word of God says. So it's essentially looking at a passage of scripture. What's the main point? What's the main truth of this passage? And that's what the sermon is about. So it's not about what the preacher wants to say, but what the Bible says that passage is. So often this looks like working passage by passage through a book of the Bible. So a healthy church, first of all, preaches the word and preaches what the Bible says to preach. Expositional preaching.
Yep.
Exposing the text.
Troy, if I could ask you a question on that note. Expositional preaching, if I remember correctly, he kind of contrasts that with topical. How would you kind of draw that divide for our listeners?
Yeah, expositional would say, you know, what's preach Genesis 1. So you look through all of Genesis 1 as a passage. What's the overall point of this? What's the truth of it? Topical would be more thematic of saying, like, I want to do a sermon series on like anger or a sermon series on marriage. And you collect all of maybe the passages in the Bible about those topics and they all point to this. Still could be very helpful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's more dangers in topical preaching than expositional. Expositional, you're concerned with the passage at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your boundaries. Where topical, you can very much more become subjective. I can preach what I, the preacher, want to preach about marriage.
Right.
Or preach about anger. Rather than saying what the Bible does. So it's kind of how you crash. I think you can do both really well.
Mm-hmm.
And preachers do both really well. But there's, I think, a little bit more historical trend to do expository preaching.
Makes sense.
Awesome.
Sweet.
The second mark would be biblical theology, What that essentially means is you have sound doctrine. So a church who holds right beliefs about who God is and what God has done, that's only going to be good for that church. So a church's beliefs, their doctrine affects everything else that a church does. So a healthy church has good biblical sound doctrine. So expositional preaching, biblical theology. The third is the gospel. This means the good news of Jesus. So a church should preach the gospel. It should reflect the gospel of Jesus in its culture, in its habits, and its practices. It should understand what sin is, why Jesus had to die, that Jesus resurrected, how someone goes from death to life, because there is no such thing as a church without the gospel. There's no such thing as a growing church if they're not sharing the gospel, if they're not expressing the gospel, treating one another in light of the gospel. It's not going to be a healthy church.
Right. It's going to be a cult.
Yeah, exactly. So the fourth one is similar, but Dever argues that a fourth mark is a biblical understanding of conversion. So a church should care deeply about true conversion. By conversion, we mean someone who is saved by Jesus. And unfortunately, there are many who I think, especially in America, who have made a profession of faith, but are not actually truly converted. So maybe it's through experiences or it's through emotions. People can sign a card, make a decision, and yet not follow Jesus truly. So a church should deeply care about what it means to actually be converted. So a church strives to teach the gospel clearly, call sinners to true repentance, and expect them to live out that repentance. Because that affects a lot of things about the church. Some practical, like, you know, who are you going to allow to be baptized, or who can eat the Lord's Supper, who can serve in your church's nursery, who can teach Sunday school. We want converted, growing people.
Yeah, right.
So this mark is to have a strong emphasis on teaching what true repentance and commitment is. The fifth mark is a biblical understanding of evangelism. So healthy church is one that lives out its commission by Jesus, both in Acts 1 and Matthew 28, to make disciples of all nations. So this could be missions. This could also be personal evangelism at work, around town. Healthy church shares the gospel. Sixth is a biblical understanding of church membership. So this is the commitment that individuals make with the congregation as a whole, and the congregation makes a commitment to that individual. It's a way to point each other to Christ and commit to doing that actively. It's a way to affirm one another's faith. It's a way to commit members to giving to the church, to serving the church, taking care of the bride of Christ. So it's kind of a way to officially declare that individual is part of a church, and the church is going to point that individual to Christ as much as they can.
Sure.
So church membership would be six. Seven that flows out of that is biblical church discipline. And this one's often shocking. I think if people were to say, what are the nine marks of a church? They're probably not going to say church discipline. Like, that's not normally going to attract people to a church. But he argues it's a sign of a healthy local church, because it's where the church may rebuke or correct a Christian who is sinning.
Yeah.
And call them out of gentleness, with gentleness, right? Calling them to repentance out of their sin. And a church who does not practice discipline, Dever argues, whether formally or informally, they're not showing their holiness. Right? The Bible talks about often how God disciplines us out of his love and care. So if the bride of Christ exists, then it should also do the same, because we care about one another looking holy. So discipline, I mean, often there's some horror stories with church discipline, but a good biblical understanding of church discipline is only good for the church. Number eight, a concern for discipleship and growth. So this is one that a church should be looking more like Christ, and its members should be looking more like Christ. This doesn't mean there's a ton of people being converted, or the numbers are growing up, or small groups are full. What this more means is people are looking more like Jesus. So there's Bible reading, there's prayer, there's Christian conduct and holiness. We are striving to follow Jesus more and more every week that we gather, and every week that we go to work and go to school. Our church should look more like Christ. So discipleship, growth, sanctification. The last one, the ninth mark, is biblical church leadership. So this is about the structure and government of the church, that the Bible does give us mandates and give us instructions about how the church should be ordered. It's not unorganized. Rather, there's elders or pastors, there's deacons, there's a congregation. And the Bible describes how all of us can work together in the way that God ordained. So those are the nine marks.
Awesome. That's a great flyover, Troy. And we'll definitely touch more on some of those marks. The first one that you'd set up was expository preaching, or expositional preaching. Dever in his book sets that as the highest priority. You know, it's the first one for a reason, even before biblical theology. In your years of ministry, which marks have you found to be the most important? So if you want to endorse expositional preaching or whatnot, and which ones are the most frequently avoided or even neglected by modern church bodies?
So I don't have, you know, too many years of church ministry, but I guess if you were to ask me in 30 years, the answer would be the same. It would be, I think the first three marks have to be essential for ministry, which would be expositional preaching, biblical theology, and the gospel. Because what makes a church involve those three things. Okay. If you're not preaching or standing on the gospel, you can't be a Christian and you can't be a Christian church. If you're not preaching the word, and the word is, by the way, where faith comes to be through the word of God. So expositional preaching has to be up there. Sound doctrine has to be up there. Who is Jesus? So I think those three have to be the biggest priorities. And I think that's one of the first three.
Gotcha.
But I believe in regards to the question about which ones are most frequently avoided, I would say church membership is one of them, especially in the modern church bodies we have today. There are various reasons for that. I think often we live in a very transactional or seasonal culture where we may commit to something for 3 months, and then once it gets hard or difficult, we leave, or we find another option around the corner, right? Whether that be like with a job or gyms, like we choose something for a month or a year, and then we can always adjust.
Right.
But church membership is saying, hey, you're going to commit to us for the long haul, as long as you can. And you put up with things even when it gets hard or it's a struggle. Like, can you commit to a church even if you don't really like the music that much, right? Or if you don't like that preacher who's there that Sunday, are you still going to come to that church? Are you going to go somewhere else where you like that preacher more, right? We, as a modern person, we just go where our preferences can be met. Where church membership says, you lay your life down for the bride of Christ. Covenant to this body, despite its weaknesses or differences in preferences, is hard. And I think also church membership is often neglected because there's not like a command that's clearly stated in the New Testament that says you must become a member of a church.
Yep.
If it said that, I think we would prioritize it a lot more.
Yeah.
But so people assume, hey, you don't really have to be a member because the Bible doesn't even say the word membership. But in reality, if you read through the New Testament, there's no such thing really, except for maybe for Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which is a different story. We can talk about that later if we want to. But there's really no such thing as a Christian who's separate from a local church. You read through Acts, you read through the letters of Paul. Paul's writing to specific congregations.
Yeah.
In Rome, in Thessalonica, right? In Corinth. Those are specific local churches. And Paul would never say, oh, you're a Christian, but you don't go anywhere to church. No, a Christian is someone who went to church. So the whole New Testament kind of has that as a basis. So I think those errors of neglecting church membership, we're kind of feeling the weight of that now. There's a lot of weaknesses there in modern church history, especially in America. But I think we're so transactional that we don't pick up on church membership.
I would also add on the note of church membership, if there's any listeners out there who would have a strong argument with or has considered before what Troy just mentioned about not seeing it explicitly laid out in scripture, Mark Dever has another great little book called Why Should I Join a Church? It's absolutely tiny. It's almost a booklet where he gives a lot of great points about how you cannot fulfill the commands of the New Testament if you're not a part of a local church, if you're not actively participating in a covenant membership there. So, yeah, appreciate you saying that.
Cool. So clearly this book can be a helpful resource for Christians tasked with church leadership. More broadly, why is this book important for church members who aren't in those positions?
So I think if you think of just a member who may be serving in nursery or coming to church on Sundays but doesn't feel like they're an elder or deacon, I think it's still beneficial because I think a member needs to know what a healthy church is.
Okay.
They want to be able to affirm the church that they're in, or maybe say, oh, maybe I should step back from the church because they don't have sound doctrine or because they don't have church membership. Because a lot of times we just absorb, it's a church, it's probably good to go.
Right.
And they have music, they have preaching, but it helps us see what a healthy church is. We can maybe then filter out, if we move, filter what churches should we attend or participate in. I think that's helpful. But also, the health of a local church is not reliant just upon the pastor or the elders or the deacons. It's healthy mostly because of the congregation. So if any member of the congregation better understands sound doctrine or better understands the gospel, that's only going to help the rest of the church understand those things.
Right.
So studying about your own church is going to be helpful. So I think just better understanding a local church will reap tons of sanctification.
Absolutely. Troy, what parts of the book do you foresee skeptics taking issue with? Or maybe what are the most challenging standards that Dever lays out within the book?
Yeah, I think the marks, the one I mentioned of church membership and the other one would be church discipline. They're often critiqued. And I can't really imagine the other seven being often critiqued. I don't think people are going to argue that sound doctrine is not a healthy mark. They might disagree with what sound doctrine is.
Right.
But those other seven, I think, are probably pretty consistent. But some, as I said earlier, some don't see church membership in the Bible. They don't see the word mentioned. They don't see it as one of the nine marks of what a healthy church is. But I mean, I would strongly disagree biblically, also practically. That'd be one critique. But the other one I want to focus on would be, I think, church discipline. We rarely practice that anymore. And to say up front, like to potential new members, we believe one of the healthy marks is that we're going to practice discipline would be shocking to them. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you read Matthew 18, you read 1 Corinthians 5 and 6,
yeah.
we're going to see not only Jesus commissioning the disciples to do church discipline, but you're going to see a real life example in 1 Corinthians of a church correcting someone who's professing to be a believer. I think people often view church discipline as combative or legalistic, that we're just trying to be, you know, puritanical or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Deborah argues, I think rightly, that church discipline is a way for us to keep the holiness of the church at the forefront. So because God is holy, our people are holy, and when we stop living out our identity as redeemed, holy people, that's going to affect not only our church, but also the community that we're trying to reach. Like we should be standing out. So I think the fact that these two often go against our culture, membership and discipline, that they're often rebuked, even by people within the churches or mm-hmm. leaders. So I think these would be the two that most churches would struggle to implement compared to the other seven.
Yep, I would agree with you.
Yeah. All right. How would you recommend new listeners come at this book? Is there like a sort of time requirement or like attention span that you'd say is probably where you want to be at when you come to read this book?
Yeah, I think if you have little understanding of nine marks in general, or maybe you've never read a book about the church, I would just say read one chapter at a time and then pause. It probably takes 20 to 25 minutes to read each chapter, mm-hmm. read each mark. So it's a decent commitment, but I think if you read the chapter, maybe let that soak in for a day or two, mm-hmm. and then go to the next mark. Don't digest it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, I really struggle to read, there's actually even a smaller version of this book, mm-hmm. okay, where like each mark is only in 4 to 5 pages. Mm-hmm. And it's called What is a Healthy Church by Mark Dever. So even if you're intimidated by this one book, mm-hmm. you can read the shorter one. But I think if you take one mark at a time, about 20, 25 minutes, you'll work through each mark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that'll be helpful.
Yeah. Actually, so Alex, I went through it with your old roommate, Josiah, and we did it just one week at a time. We would take each chapter, and that was super helpful for us. We really enjoyed it, and it was great to like unpack that and talk about that. So that was super cool.
Yeah, it'd be a good book for like a small group in a church.
Yes. Okay. Yep, absolutely. If our listeners are particularly interested in studying one or two of the nine marks particularly, but not all of them, so let's say they heard you talk about church membership, they want to hear more about that, or church discipline, are there any resources that we could point them to instead of buying the entire nine marks book?
Yeah, and so, you know, we're talking about nine marks, which is an organization itself. Like, you can go to their website, go to conferences, all these things, and they don't have a monopoly, right, on church books. But they're one of the few organizations that focuses like just primarily on
right,
the church.
Right? Right.
And they have a series of smaller books called the Building Healthy Church series. Each one has its own little color. Mm-hmm, so you can say, I read the blue book on this or the orange book on this. Mm-hmm. And they have some on each of the nine marks and even elements beyond that, like prayer or things like that. So mm-hmm. look up nine marks. And if you just type in church membership, like on their website or on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
one of their books will come up.
Right.
And there are probably like 100, 130 pages, but they're real small.
Yeah.
Real small books.
Sounds good. Are there any other books on ecclesiology or pastoral theology that you would recommend for our listeners who are interested in this topic?
Yeah, so I thought of three.
Awesome.
One is Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
So ooh.
Yeah, probably about 80 years ago, 80, 90 years ago, and he was a German pastor. It's a classic book, about 100 pages, and it's written more devotionally. Okay, but I think if you read this book, you're going to better appreciate the Sunday morning gathering than you would normally. So it's a good book to just sit through and read devotionally. He's obviously part of a much different culture than we are, but I think it's still very applicable. I really enjoy that book. Second one is another Dever book. So if you like nine marks and you want to go a little bit more in detail, you want to know a little bit more about church history, a little bit more about theology, he has a book called The Church, The Gospel Made Visible. It's about 200 pages, so it's a little bigger commitment.
Okay.
But he traces through more theology and also like, hey, what is the history of the church done regarding local churches? And
mm-hmm.
it gives you a bit more context. And the last one, so if you want like a deep theological book, if you want to sit down with a 500-page book, more of like a seminary, master's level, there's a book called Sojourners and Strangers by Greg Allison. So it's a book on the systematic theology of the church. So if you have questions about, hey, how does Israel relate to the church, or what are the various positions of the Lord's Supper over the years,
oh, boy.
Pick up that 500-page book. So I think Life Together is probably one of the easier ones to read, and it kind of incrementally work your way up. But that's a big one if you have a big question.
Okay. Awesome. Alex, what I'm interested in, do you have any other books that you can think of on that topic of ecclesiology that you would recommend?
Honestly, not off the top of my head.
No?
I know if you'd given me time to think about it.
Yeah. I feel like one that I'm really excited about hearing more from you actually, Troy, is One Assembly by Jonathan Lehman, which happens to be part of the Nine Mark series, I believe, as well. But that book is all about the importance of gathering, right, as a particular assembly. So that's a big one. And then I also really liked, Troy, have you read What is the Mission of the Church by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert?
I have. That's a good book.
Yeah, that's another one that I read that at the same time that I was reading Nine Marks, and they complemented each other really well. It was great. But anyways, that's all the questions we have for you today, Troy. But like we said at the beginning, we're incredibly grateful for your time and for your willingness to sit down with us. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
If any of our listeners are interested in hearing more from you or about the church that you lead, where can we direct them?
Yeah, if you just go to cbbc.net, you can hear sermons, read about our church, and then my email's on there. So if anyone has any questions, who's your channel?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that. If you, the listeners, enjoyed hearing from Troy today, be sure to tune in once again for episodes 29 and 41, wherein Troy will be sitting down with us once again to discuss John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress and Jonathan Lehman's One Assembly, respectively.
As always, if you're interested in reaching out to get in touch with myself or Chase, please feel free to email us at agoodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again in 2 weeks with episode 24.
See you guys later.
Take care.